Turn to Genesis chapter 29. We started in chapter 28, and we've gotten through 29 up through about verse 30. We're studying the story of Jacob and Laban, and we're really seeing a contrast of the integrity and the honesty and the way that Jacob really trusted God compared to the treachery and really lack of trust in God that Laban had. What got me looking at this was I read the story, and I was just amazed at how strong Jacob was and how much integrity he had, how much trust in God he had. And what I noticed was that he had this trust and this integrity in the middle of some of the most awful circumstances of life. And I got to thinking about us and some of us, especially in our parish, and how life has kind of taken a left turn or a right turn or say or a U-turn in some cases. Somebody's lost their job. Somebody's got a business that's not doing just right. You know, somebody has decided being a mother and a wife is not all the things I thought it was going to be, or being a father and a husband isn't what I thought it should be, or isn't working the way I thought it ought to, or I'm not in control, or I'm not doing what I ought to. There's just all kinds of things that come against us, like when Debbie got the diagnosis of breast cancer. I mean, your life changes at those points. And the question is, what are we going to do when that happens? I have a good friend of mine whose company is about to be embroiled in a lawsuit. Now, as it turns out, best I can tell, he has done everything right, and his customer has done everything wrong. And it's going to come to a place where they're about to go to court. And this guy is just all torn up over it. You know, what do I do now? And he's starting to say, you know, it was really easy to say, I trust God when everything was going well. It was real easy to say, I trust God for my finances when I had lots of money and there was no threat to my income. He said, but now what am I going to do? He said, I've got to really trust God now. And so that's the background that I want us to look at this story with. What do we do when things really get tough? Can we be like Jacob, or are we going to act like old Laban? So in the story, Jacob, who is the son of Isaac, who is the almost sacrificed son of Abraham, goes back home to find a wife from amongst his mother's kinfolks. He finds this beautiful girl, Rachel, says, I want to marry her. And Rachel's dad says, sure, just work for me for 7 years and I'll let you have her. And Jacob works for Laban for 7 years, hard work out in the fields. And come wedding night, Laban does a switcheroo and puts Leah in, Rachel's sister, and now all of a sudden, Jacob is married to Leah. And Jacob gets upset with that, and Laban says, well, you know, you can't marry off the younger before you marry the older, and so, okay, I'll let you have Rachel, but you got to work for me another 7 years. So Jacob gets tricked in this situation. You talk about life taking a left turn. When he woke up in the morning, and it was Leah laying in bed with him instead of Rachel, his life took a left turn. But instead of him doing all kinds of wrong things that he could have done, he didn't do that. He was an honorable man, even honorable to Leah. And so he keeps Leah as his wife. He takes Rachel as his wife, which was not an uncommon custom in those days. By the way, when we're talking about Laban and Rachel and Jacob and these people, we're talking about real people. We're talking about real things that happen to real people. This would be like when one of your friends tells you a story about something that's happening to them. Well, you go, okay, well, I know this person. It's a real story, and it means something. When you read a book of fiction, it's like, okay, well, this is real interesting, but it's not about real people in real circumstances. This is real people in real circumstances. What do they do? And so we pick up the story in verse 31. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, it goes through talking about all the children that were born of Leah to start with, these next few verses, and how she names them Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. When she gets to Judah, for some reason, she quits bearing children. So this means that Jacob was being a good husband to both wives. In chapter 30, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, She became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Now, listen to what Jacob said. Think about it when you argue with your wife or your husband. I know none of y'all have ever done anything like that. But if you did, think about how those arguments go. And if the wife says something like that, she's essentially saying what? It's all your fault that I'm not having children. There's something wrong with you. You need to give me children or I'm going to die. I'm going to demand of you. You know how it's tough on us guys. Women want to go window shopping, right? And we're walking along and she goes, oh, look at those shoes. I love those shoes. And then the next one, oh, look at this ring. Wouldn't that ring look nice on my right hand? And then she goes to the next, oh, that beautiful dress. I wish I had a dress just like that. It's torture on us guys. Because us guys are thinking, oh, okay, I need to buy her those shoes. I need to buy her this ring. I need to buy her that dress. And I need to do it right now or as quick as possible. And you said, oh, okay, well, I'll need to go buy you those shoes right now. She'd look at you like, what are you talking about? You don't need to buy those. Well, I thought you just said they were beautiful and you loved them. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean I want to buy them. Well, in this case, however, I think when Rachel said, you need to give me children, she was serious. See? And of all the things that Jacob could have come back with, he could have cut her down, he could have done all kinds of things. But what does he do? He said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? I mean, he goes right to the truth of the matter and he says, I'm not God. I don't control this woman. You need to put your trust where I put my trust. You need to put your trust in God. Now, interestingly enough, although Jacob is ready to put his trust in God and he tells Rachel to put her trust in God, the first thing she does is think, I'll let him have my maidservant as a concubine or as a sub-wife, or I don't know how they did those things in those days. I mean, it just sounds kind of complicated to me. And again, you know that they were telling stories about great-granddaddy Abraham and how brave he was to nearly sacrifice his son Isaac, but God came through and how God had spoken to him many times and God promised him and Sarah a child, and yet he takes Hagar instead of sticking to God's promise, and then out of that comes Ishmael, and look at all the problems that we have with Ishmael. And they knew those stories and they were talking about those stories, and yet Jacob still says, okay, sure, I'll take you, maid, and has a baby by him. Her name, by the way, was Bilhah, and she gave him her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice. I mean, I guess they kind of felt like the maid belonged to them. You know, it's sort of like the abortion argument now where women say, oh, that baby growing inside of me is really just a piece of my tissue. It's not really a baby. It's just part of me. And that's kind of where the abortion things come. It almost sounds like that's how they were thinking about it. And she called this baby Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And so she's all happy about that. She names him Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she gives Jacob her maid. Her maid's name is Zilpah. Gave her to Jacob, his wife, and Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, how fortunate. And so she named him Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah was happy and calls his name Asher. Now, they go through a story here in verse 14 about mandrakes, where it's talking about how Reuben goes out in the field and gets some mandrakes, and Rachel wants to buy the mandrakes, and she buys the mandrakes by letting Leah have her night with Jacob, or whatever you would call it, I guess. So anyway, eventually Leah has another baby, called him Zebulun. And then Leah has a daughter, and then you get down into verse 22, and it says, then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named that son Joseph. It says, may the Lord give me another son. But the Lord didn't give her another son. Matter of fact, that was it. That was the 12 children of Jacob. Jacob was a busy guy. I mean, not only did he work 14 years, but then he had these 12 children in the next about 6 or 7 years, as we discover later from some other chronology. So, Jacob was a busy boy. Now, when you look at this, though, there's some interesting things about this. First of all, Jacob has two wives. We would never think of doing that now. But he also takes two concubines. They're not really officially wives, but he's having children by them, so it's about the same sort of thing. And out of these four women, he ends up with 12 children. I remember stories of the first missionaries that came into Kenya about 100 years ago. And at the time, the Kenyan culture said that it was okay to have two wives or three wives or, you know, however many wives you could afford and support. Now, it wasn't common for men to have more than two wives, but some did. When the Western missionaries came into Kenya, they told these families, it's not right for a man to have more than one wife. And so you're going to have to get rid of one of your wives and one of the children. And they literally tore apart families, ruined families, probably thousands of families in Kenya. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to get rid of one of those women. Well, now, when you're reading this story about Leah and Rachel and their maids, you realize there's a lot of contention between these two women, as you might well expect. Like the Maasai warrior that we visited with and prayed for a few years ago, he had six wives. And, of course, their first prayer request was peace and harmony in the family, because they didn't have much of that. Well, of course, with six wives, you're not going to have peace and harmony. I mean, give me a break. So there's contention. It's obviously a difficult thing to do, but God doesn't condemn it. As a matter of fact, these 12 boys that are born, actually he had 13 children, if you include Dinah, the daughter, but the 12 boys that Jacob had, those are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the foundation of the people of Israel. God didn't go, well, you know, you had too many wives, you had concubines you shouldn't have had, and so it doesn't count. He didn't do that. Obviously, it just didn't appear to be that important to God. And yet these missionaries came in and they tear apart families. I think God is saying, you know, the family and the coherence of the family is a pretty important thing. And so even when you seem to have left turns and right turns in life that you didn't expect and things don't go the way you expect, if you do like Jacob, God's going to turn around and bless that. If you're going to be diligent, you're going to be honorable, and you're going to do what God tells you to do. Now, the foundation of Israel is based on the sons of Jacob, and really doesn't have anything to do with wives. They could have been apparently any women. But interestingly enough, when we come time for the Christian era to begin and for Jesus to be born, there's no man involved. At that point, it's just a woman that's involved, I mean, besides the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, there's a man there that takes that woman as his wife and helps raise Jesus and those kind of things. But, I mean, it's just an interesting turn of things that God says, okay, now we're just going to do this plumb different. Now I'm going to be the daddy. And so the mother became fairly important in that issue. Okay, now, so we got all these children, and it came about that when Rachel bore Joseph, this is verse 25 of chapter 30, that Jacob goes to Laban and says, send me away that I can go to my place and to my own country. Remember, when Jacob arrived in the first place, he said, I'm coming to get a wife, and I'm going to go back home. I'm not going to live here. I'm going to live where I came from. Give me my wives, give me my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourself know my service, which I have rendered you. Now, in our modern day, if a relative came to my house and married one of my daughters and worked for me for a while, and then he said, I think I'm going to leave, can you imagine me saying, what do you mean? You can't leave. This is my daughter and my children, my grandchildren, and you work for me, and you can't. You know, in our society, well, hey, who are you? You're just the head of the house. We don't care. We're going to do whatever we want to. But, you know, in these days, whoever the head of the house was the head of the house. And everybody underneath that said, we will accept that. We will honor that, at least to the extent that we can. And Jacob, again, a man of integrity, did that. So he goes to Laban and asks. And Laban says, if now it pleases you, stay with me. I have discovered, I have observed, it is obvious by now that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Oh, Laban was a sharp cookie. Didn't have much integrity, but he's pretty smart. And he continued, and he said, name me your wages, and I'll give it to you whatever you said. And then Jacob says to Laban, you yourself know that I have served you, and how your cattle have fared with me, and you had little before I came, and it has now increased to a great multitude. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. And now, when shall I provide for my own household? What shall I give to you? He said. See, all this time, Jacob had been busy having children, making sure Laban was prosperous. He didn't have much stuff of his own. But he was still willing to leave. You know, hey, I'll start out, do whatever the Lord told me to go back. I'm ready to do it now. I'm ready to do it with nothing. I'm ready to start out with nothing because I know God's going to take care of me. Laban says, no, man, you got to stick around. What wages do you want? Now, Jacob had heard from the Lord. We don't see that right here. Later we hear that the Lord had been talking to Jacob about when it comes time to ask for wages, this is what you need to say. He said, you'll not give me anything, but just do this one thing for me. Then I'll go ahead and I'll pasture your sheep for you. Let me pass through your entire herd today, removing every speckled sheep, every spotted sheep, every black sheep, every speckled spotted black goat, and let those be my wage. Now remember in Revelation where it talks about Jesus is coming back for a bride who is spotless and without blemish? Jacob is saying, give me the spotted ones. Remember, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, when you offered a lamb or a goat to God, it had to be one that didn't have any spots on it. The speckled ones, the spotted ones, the black ones, they weren't good enough to give to God as an offering. And so that would be the spotted. Blemish means, you know, they've got a broken foot, they've got a cut, they've got something, ears been cut off, something's wrong with them, you know. So what Jacob says is, just give me the spotted ones. Nobody wants them anyway. I'll take those. And Laban's going, hey, yeah, baby, you want those? You can have them, no problem. And everyone that's not speckled and spotted, I won't take him. That was good to Laban. And so they removed the speckled, the spotted, the black. And he takes them about a three-day journey away. In other words, he wants to make sure the herds don't get mixed up. He's still going to continue to help and work for Laban, build his herd, but he wants his herd to stay separate. And it's not clear here, but based on the rest of the text, it looks like that the deal was, give me all the spotted and speckled ones you have now, and whatever is born while I'm working for you that's spotted or speckled, give me those too. In verse 37, then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees, and he peeled white strips in them, exposing the white which was in the rods, and he set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flock when they watered and when they mated. And when the strong ones mated, he brings out these speckled and spotted rods and puts them out and says, okay, mate here. And when the weak ones go to mate, he takes the rods down. No, don't want that. And so what ended up happening was he was doing selective breeding. He was doing, for us now, animal husbandry 101, but for them it was kind of an unusual thing. And I think that the branches, the rods that were spotted and speckled that he was using, I think he was using that as a point of faith. It was a contact point for his faith. I remember the first time I ever heard that concept, Oral Roberts was on TV, he was preaching about healing, and he said, just touch your television. I'm going to reach my hand out, you touch your television, and believe that God is going to heal you if you need to be healed. And he would explain, there's nothing magic about touching your television. We're going to use that as a point of contact. We're going to use that point of contact as a way for your faith to kind of have something to work from. We like something concrete. That's why the sacraments of the church have always been there and always will be there, because God knows we need to be able to touch things. We touch the bread. We touch the wine. We baptize folks and put them under the water and bring them out. It's not just a symbol. It's a physical something we're doing to help our faith operate. And I think that's what Jacob was doing here, because he had these rods. It was his way of his faith operating, that he'd believe God would bless the herd. And it says in verse 43, so the man, Jacob, became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, and he had female and male servants, and he had camels, and he had donkeys. In other words, all these speckled sheep and goats that he was getting, he was obviously selling them to other people or trading them for donkeys or whatever. I mean, this man in 20 years became wealthy. And the first 14 of those years, he was working for this other guy for nothing but the wives. And so it was just in a very short period of time, God made him wealthy. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all of his wealth. These boys have been sitting around, probably. They probably haven't been doing any work while Jacob's been out doing the work. They're just boys that are taking advantage of their rich daddy, you know. And now all of a sudden they see that their daddy's herd keeps getting littler, and old Jacob's herd keeps getting bigger, and they're offended. And so as far as they're concerned, Jacob is stealing from them. Now, never mind that Laban changes his mind all the time on Jacob. Anyway, so Jacob says, look, their attitude toward me is not friendly anymore. God's always told us I got to leave and go home. Now's the time to do it. We're going to leave and go home. And so he does so without telling anybody, because he knows as soon as he starts in on Laban, hey, I'm thinking about leaving, Laban's going, well, I mean, let's change the deal again on what you ought to have. He's not going to do that. And so the Lord speaks to Jacob clearly. We're in verse 3 of chapter 31 now. Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I'll be with you. And so Jacob sent, and he called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field and said to them, I see that your father's attitude toward us is not friendly any longer, but the Lord, my God, has been with me. And you know that I have served your father with all my strength. So this is a man of integrity that can say, I've done the right thing. I've done the right thing all the time, no matter how bad it seemed, no matter what happened. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. I remember one time working for a guy, and he had his sales staff was about to quit. Matter of fact, his number one salesman told me about a year after I started working there, he said, I was within 24 hours of quitting when they hired you, and I decided I'd at least give you a chance. They hired me as sales manager. And I worked with the owner of the company, came up with a commission plan, right? It's going to be a 90-day commission plan. And it was based entirely on performance. We set every month of those 3 months, the first 3 months, we set records in sales in that company. Every month was better than the next one. And so we came to the end of the first 90 days. Well, I can't pay you that much. That's just way too much. I said, this is what we agreed to. Well, yeah, but I didn't expect you to do anywhere near that good. And so we changed the commission. Okay, well, he's going to pay me most of that. It took him another 90 days to pay me that commission. So we had a different commission plan for the next 90 days. We went through that for nearly 2 years. And every 90 days, he had a different plan, because every 90 days, God would bless that company. We set record after record after record in that company and hired people and prospered and did better than he had ever done before. And yet, he didn't want to pay me. Well, we'd change the commission to, okay, it's going to be based on this instead of that. Well, then that would be what would prosper. Well, I didn't expect you to do so well in that. We can't pay you that much. That's too much money. You didn't, you know. I know exactly how Jacob feels. And I stayed with that guy, with him cheating me, until I realized he was cheating the salespeople in their commissions. And there was a calculation. The way the calculation worked was they were paid commissions based on the margin of what they sold, you know, how much profit was in what they sold, and he was leaving things out of that profit calculation. And I said, you can't do that. Your promise to these guys, your sales plan that you agreed to was that you'll pay them commissions on everything that's in that profit. Well, I'm not going to tell them about it, and they won't know it. I know it, and I'll tell them about it. No, you won't tell them about it, because I'm not going to pay them. And I quit. I mean, this was a day, you know, I come home 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hi, honey, I'm home. I quit my job. And Debbie goes, what? I felt like Jacob at this point. I'd actually been honorable in what I did. So I know how Jacob feels here. You've changed wages on me 10 times. However, God did not allow Laban to hurt him. God was Jacob's source. And Jacob knew that all along. See, that's why when life would give Jacob a big curveball, and all of a sudden life goes off this way, when he was thinking it ought to go off this way, he didn't get frustrated, he didn't quit, he didn't beat up other people, he didn't do the wrong thing. He stayed with God's plan. He continued to trust in God. If Laban spoke thus, the speckled you shall have for your wages, then all the flock brought forth speckled. And if he spoke that the stripe would be my wages, then the flock brought forth stripe. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock, and he's given it to me. And it came about at the time when the flock were mating, and that's when he's talking about how he had this dream of male goats mating with speckled and spotted and mottled. And he said, the angel of the Lord said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And the angel said, lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land and return to the land of your birth. So God had been talking to him all along about this concept of speckled and spotted. And he was just doing what God said. That's all he was doing. God took care of him. And you know what? Even though Leah started out feeling pretty unloved, listen to what Leah and Rachel say in response to his speech to them about, we got to cut out of here. They say, do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? In other words, they know that Laban's completely cut them off. Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? He wasn't visiting them. He was probably too busy with his boys. Finally came along. See, I don't think he had boys when Jacob showed up. If he did, those boys would have been working the flock. But Jacob was the one that worked things. They say, for he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. In other words, all that 14 years you worked for him for us and built up his flocks, he spent it on himself. He didn't spend it on us. He didn't spend it on the grandbabies. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. So these are wives that look up to their husbands and say, husband, I expect you to do the right thing. You've always done the right thing. That's what I expect of you, and so I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow you in what you do. We may continue this next week. Remember now, we have moved out of the house. We've always said we're not a house church, and we're not meeting in a house anymore. We're meeting at the Matthews Community Center in downtown Matthews. That's at 100 East McDowell Street in room 201. Sunday morning services are at 10 o'clock sharp. Check out our website for details, www.cecmessiah.org, and come visit us on a Sunday morning. Great things happen here. God shows up here every Sunday morning. Come check it out. Let us pray for you. Let God bless you. Get directions at cecmessiah.org, and then come worship with us Sunday morning. You'll find it a unique experience.